to the charred stump of what had once been a mighty statue, something the locals mostly called Liberlady. He'd been in the cold and ice of the north, and down in the glowing, rad-crazy wastes of the southern deserts, where chem clouds flamed from east to west. If J.B. was right, and they were in the southeast, then it was new territory for him.
Some ozone. Can taste gas. Maybe in the ground or water. Fire blast, but it's hot and wet here.
Already he was sweating, a trickle of perspiration running down the small of his back. From habit he glanced behind him, seeing, to his surprise, that virtually all of the gateway was below ground. Creepers twined all about the shallow, concrete, single-story building, covering it with an impenetrable mat of gray-green foliage.
I'm guessing this natural camouflage is the main reason the gateway hasn't been entered and trashed.
Man, this place is unbelievable. Look out, world, here we come.
Christie shuddered. Within the deeps of the limitless swamp that stretched all around them, she sensed a slow stirring. It was not a good feeling. The blind woman sat trembling on a large wooden chair, leaning against the high quilted back, arms folded across her breasts. She wore a thin cotton dress with a dark brown stain on the right hip. Her right hand fiddled with the slim silver knife, sheathed on a cord around her neck. Every few seconds her pink tongue flicked nervously over her dry lips. All around her, in the lobby of what had once been the Best Western Snowy Egret Inn of West Lowellton, near Lafayette, Louisiana, men bustled about their business. Not one of them looked directly at her. If Mother Midnight had been summoned by their lord, then it was best to avoid any entanglement. The scar-faced woman was notorious as one of the most cunning of the witches. The magicians of the day were known as Ungons, and were frightening enough. But Mother Midnight was one of the dark wizards, called Bokor. Cross her, and she might wish you dead. Might touch you on the cheek with a long fingernail, and whisper the single word, thinner. That had happened only a month ago to tall, strapping Stevie King. Slowly but surely, he began to waste away. Within 20 days, he died, shriveled to less than 80 pounds. And now, something had gone wrong. All through the bayous, the whisper had gone out of a disaster at a ritual. So the Baron wished to see her. Her sensitive nostrils caught the sharp scent of marijuana, and she turned toward the sound of steps, hearing them stop near the chair.
He will see you now, Mama Mimwe.
There was not the usual respect in the young man's voice, and the woman tasted fear on her own tongue. The Baron ruled over a vast area of the swamps, all around Lafayette. Apart from the renegades, every soul for 50 miles around paid dues to Baron Tourmont. Even the Cajuns, deep within the Everglades, would not cross him. She stood and reached out a feathering hand for guidance. The Best Western had been the headquarters for the Baron ever since she could recall. But he moved from room to room daily, fearing assassination. The hand that gripped her fingers was soft as a girl's, and she could smell the man's scent.
This way. There's a step, then another.
Tell me, Mephisto, why has the Baron summoned me?
He would tell you.
Oui.
The carpet was soft beneath her sandaled feet, muffling their steps. Her sense of direction was excellent, but even she lost track of the twists and turns in the endless corridors. Twice they passed clunking machines that made ice for the Baron and his army. Once they stopped, and she heard the thin whining of an elevator. They went up one floor, then along more corridors. They entered another elevator. As her bare shoulder brushed against the sliding metal door, she felt the faint whip-crack of a static shock. Down a level. She realized that Mephisto was teasing her, playing some cruel jest by taking her a winding way, making the darkness around her into a bewildering maze.
How much further?
Ignoring her, Mephisto quickened his pace, dragging her behind him.
How far, friend?
Soon. And do not think I am your friend, Mother.
Mother Midnight winced in the expectation of the shock of a bullet, but nothing happened.
That is not the Baron's way. Not a swift death.
I know it.
The last public execution had been around the beginning of the year. An old man had stolen a chicken for his family and had been caught by the Sekhmen. They'd stripped him, his pale, sagging belly almost concealing the shrunken genitals, poured gasoline over him, and ignited it. The flame was almost invisible in the bright sunlight. He'd capered and jigged, his hands beating at the fire. This leader of the Baron Sec men, Mephisto, had handed the old man a can of water, which he'd immediately poured over his own head. The water had been boiling hot. Smoke and steam had mingled in a deadly halo about the old man's skull. Layers of skin had come peeling off like discarded decorations at Marty. Careful not to sully his immaculate white suit, Mephisto had splashed his victim with more gas, flicking a match to light it. The cold liquid had streamed over the man's body, over his groin and his legs. The flames, with the more beautiful blue tint to them, had danced all over. The pubic hair had scorched. Blisters burst out by the hundreds. Mother Midnight had seen none of this, relying on one of her followers for a description. But she'd smelled burning hair, roasted flesh, heard the mewing and gagging of the old man, the hiss as Mephisto poured more boiling water over the fire. Flames and water. Flames and water. Flames.
Come on.
The voice jerked the witch from her reverie. She was pulled into a room and left alone. She coughed, trying to establish the size and shape of the room, but the sound was muffled, as if large drapes hung everywhere.
The ritual of the bird, Mama?
It was bad, Baron. Real bad.
Everyone leave us.
As if too many people were trying to get out at once. The woman heard the door close. Then the silence was broken only by a susurrating, creaking sound. Mama Memui had never seen Baron Tumont. She had spoken many times with him, even made love with him. Her body knew his dimensions, all of them. She knew that he was immensely tall, 3 inches over 7 feet. Though his fingers were like steel, his body was weak, the knees and hips unable to fully support him. To compensate, he wore a clumsy exoskeleton of steel struts and bindings around his lower torso and legs. His hair was short and curly. She also recalled that his penis was about twice ordinary size, thick and long, like the forearm of a young child. He had thrust remorselessly between her widespread thighs, tearing her, so that blood gushed over her legs and belly. She had never conceived, nor had any woman he had ever serviced. But she knew that the Baron still lived in hope of a son and heir. On an impulse, Mother Midnight dropped to her knees, conscious of him looming over her. She could smell his body. Musk and soap mingling.
I heard of the Red Wing slain, fallen into the flames to perish.
I have never seen the like.
You put out the eyes?
Yes.
And released it clean? It was not harmed? The wings were unbroken?
Yes, Lord.
His breathing was slow and steady. The only other sound the woman heard was the surf of her own blood seething through her ears.
It fell to the fire and was consumed?
I have never seen...
You have said that.
Forgive me, Lord.
There was a ripple in our world, and you asked for the stranger's ritual to be performed. It has been done before, and it will be done again. This time it went... I am disappointed, madame. I am very disappointed.
It proves what I had said.